passes a resolution calling for Israel to be held accountable for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza. Hello and welcome everybody. Here in the Iranian capital, Tehran, this is World News. People across the world have taken to the streets to mark International Quds Day as Israel continues with its genocidal war in the Gaza Strip.
Free, free Palestine!
Protesters across Iran waved flags of Palestine and condemn the Israeli regime for its crimes in the besieged territory. Participants also slammed the U.S. for its support for Tel Aviv. Iranians called on the international community to take action and stop the onslaught in Gaza. Protesters used the opportunity to highlight Israel's decades-long occupation of Palestine and called for its liberation. Rallies have also been held in other countries across the globe, including Tanzania and India. International Quds Day was established by the late founder of Iran's Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, in 1979. It aims to maintain and raise awareness about the plight of the Palestinian people and their struggle. It's held on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan in most countries and on the last Sunday of the month in some countries. Fouad Izadi, university professor and political analyst, joined us earlier from Tehran. He says the 1979 revolution in Iran gave a new life to the issue of Palestine and raised it as the most important issue of the Muslim world.
This International Quds Day started right after the victory of the Islamic Revolution. You had a revival of the Palestinian cause with an Islamic perspective. And this is due to Iran. It's not due to any other country. And so Hamas was created, and this revolutionary spirit based in Islam started in Palestine, and that was the main contribution of Iran, and that is why International Quds Day is important. You know, in the last 6 months, we have had many organizations all over the world demonstrating about Palestine. In Iran, almost every week, we had demonstrations about Palestine. But this is the first International Quds Day after the start of genocide in October 7th. And that is significant because it's all about this day and what it's why it's significant, because it's basically reminds everybody about the role that the Islamic Revolution played in what we see today.
Political commentator Mohammad Marandi joined us earlier to share his thoughts on the reasons for the unwavering support the Iranian people have for the Palestinian cause.
The fundamental reason for Iran's support for the Palestinian cause is why they supported South Africa and the resistance in South Africa. When the revolution happened, the first thing that Iran did when it came to foreign policy was that it immediately cut off ties with Israel, but it also immediately cut off ties with the regime in South Africa. People ask me, why is Iran supporting the Palestinian cause? And because of anti-Iranian propaganda, they think that this is Iran has some sort of self-serving agenda. I always remind them that if you go back and look at the statements and texts and speeches of the revolutionaries even before the revolution, the language on these issues was the same as it is today. The number one reason is that this is a humanitarian issue. It is a major violation of human rights. These are racist regimes, along with South Africa, ethno-supremacist regimes, and Iran, as a religious state, cannot do business, cannot legitimize either of them, either of those entities. Fortunately, one is now gone, but as long as the Israeli regime continues to exist, Iran cannot accept its legitimacy.
People in Tehran bid farewell to seven Iranian military advisors killed in an Israeli airstrike On Iran's embassy in Syria, the funeral was held amid rallies to mark International Quds Day. The participants chanted slogans against Israel in a march ending at the University of Tehran. Following the funeral, the bodies will be sent to the hometowns of each of the deceased to be laid to rest there. On Thursday, leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, held prayers over the bodies after they had arrived in Tehran from Syria's capital. The Israeli attack struck the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus on Monday. It took the lives of two senior Iranian military commanders and five accompanying officers who were on an advisory mission to Syria. Political commentator David Yahouyan joined us earlier to share his thoughts on the impact of the Quds Day rallies around the world. He said the demonstrations have united the global audience against imperialism, Zionism, and apartheid.
Thank you. I believe the significance of International Quds Day is both a recognition of the importance of remembering and upholding the ideals of Imam Khomeini and the Islamic Revolution, and as well, of course, primarily to demonstrate solidarity with the Palestinians in their ongoing resistance against Zionist apartheid and colonialism. It affirms both the commitment to ongoing resistance against Zionism as well to the ongoing commitment to the ideals of the Islamic Revolution, which go hand in hand, primarily advocating Islamic unity as well as global unity. And so in this regard, this year's International Quds Day marches, which are truly going to be global, they've been expanding every year since 1980, will be yet another opportunity for members of the global community, as well as, of course, throughout the Islamic world, to demonstrate their ongoing opposition to Zionist colonialism, apartheid, and especially now what we see, the horrific daily war crimes and genocide against the Palestinian people.
The chief commander of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says Palestinians in Gaza will continue their resistance until they achieve final victory.
The message of Palestinians in Gaza is this. We have no problem to continue this resistance and continue fighting. Muslims should remain strong and united. We will defeat and bury the Israeli regime in Gaza.
Hossein Salami said Israel has no choice but to surrender and leave Gaza. He said the regime has suffered heavy political and economic blows and its collapse is near. The IRGC chief also slammed Washington's support for Tel Aviv, including vetoing several Security Council resolutions on a Gaza ceasefire. Regarding recent Israeli attack on an Iranian embassy in Syria, Salami warned that no action will remain unanswered. Our correspondent in Belfast, Dieter Reinisch, has also asked some people there about the event and its importance to the Palestinian cause. Let's take a listen.
I think that the Iranian government choosing such a symbolic day as the last Friday in Ramadan as Al-Quds Day and as a day of celebrating solidarity with the Palestinians really shows that solidarity with Palestine is their number one foreign policy priority and has been since the revolution. So I think that Palestinians, especially in these days in midst of war, starvation and genocide, will treasure this act of solidarity more than in any year before.
And I believe fully that the Israeli ambassador should be expelled from Ireland. I believe that everyone has a right to protest and should be on the streets calling for this genocide, this mass murder, not only to be stopped, but we should be calling for Netanyahu to be in The Hague. And the International War Crimes Committee should be taking him for the crimes against humanity that he has created in Gaza. As I said, it's one thing to murder innocent people with bombs and with bullets, but to use hunger, starvation and famine as a way of murdering and wiping out innocent men, women and children is abhorrent and is the worst crime in humanity in a long, long time.
It is definitely genocide caused by the Zionists, definitely. And it didn't happen on the 7th of October. This has been going on for years. Israel, the Palestinians have been living in an open prison for years and years. And I think it's ridiculous that the West isn't seeing what's happening. Well, they are saying it, but they're doing nothing about it, and that's what's so frustrating for the people, to watch all these children, men, women, wee boys, not getting murdered.
I think it's absolutely disgraceful that the West acts like it does, that the West funds this terrorism. I call it terrorism because that's exactly what it is. It's been terrorism for the last 75 years in Palestine.
Of course it was. We're stunned here in West Belfast in Ireland. We are all Palestinians. In our thousands, in our millions, we all need to be Palestinians so that from the river to the sea, that Palestine will be free.
Well, as we know, today marks International Quds Day, designated by the founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, in 1979, to remind the world of the Palestinian cause. Our Yemen correspondent, Abdul Latif al-Mashali, has talked to people in Sana'a about the event and its importance in the Muslim world. Let's take a listen.
International Quds Day is a day when Muslims show their interest in the key issue of the Islamic world, which is Palestine, especially Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque. For Yemenis, every day has become a Quds Day since the beginning of the Al-Aqsa flood operation. Al-Quds is in the hearts and minds of Yemenis, not only through the demonstrations, but also through missiles and drones that hit Israel's Eilat port and its maritime navigation.
International Quds Day represents the conscience of humanity in this time, full time of crimes. Al-Quds is the focus of resistance, and we must mark this day. This year's International Quds Day is very important since the Israeli war has claimed the lives of more than 32,000 Palestinians.
International Quds Day is considered a day of awareness for the Arab and Muslim nations to remind them of their central issue, which is Palestine. What is happening today in Gaza proves the importance of the Quds Day. The world must be reminded of the oppression against the Palestinian people and the hostility of the Zionist entity.
When Imam Khomeini designated this day, he made Palestine a pivotal issue for the Arab and Muslim nations by raising awareness on Quds. Palestine is the issue of Muslims, and Imam Khomeini designated the last Friday of Ramadan as Quds Day so that people could express their views about Palestine. He looked at the reality of Palestine and its wounds and pains and found that some nations had turned away from this cause, so it was necessary to remind them of Palestine.
International Quds Day is a day when Muslims affirm their unity to defend the Palestinian cause and Islamic sanctities. Marking this day shows that the Islamic resistance will not forget the Palestinian issue. The freedom of the people will not materialize without the liberation of Palestine.
Palestinians in Gaza are witnessing an unending spiral of death and devastation as the Israeli genocide in the besieged territory is now in its seventh month. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, Israeli attacks have killed 54 Palestinians and injured scores of others. In the past 24 hours, the latest victims have pushed the death toll to around 33,100, most of them women and children. The Palestine Red Crescent Society said on Thursday that about 1,000 kids in Gaza have lost one or both of their legs. Also, according to the UNICEF, 80% of schools in the Palestinian territory have been damaged or destroyed. The UN Human Rights Council has passed a resolution calling for Israel to be held accountable for war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Gaza Strip. 28 countries voted in favor of the measure. The resolution also demands a halt in all arms sales to Israel, highlighting warnings of genocide in its war on Gaza. It highlights a ruling by the International Court of Justice in January that there is a plausible risk of genocide in Gaza. This resolution marks the first time the top UN body has taken a clear position on the ongoing Israeli genocidal war on Gaza. Yemen's Mine Action Center has hosted an event commemorating International Mine Awareness Day, which is on April the 4th. The center held an exhibition showcasing remnants of internationally banned weapons used by the Saudi-led coalition in its war on Yemen. Abdul Latif al-Mashali reports from Sana'a.
Marking the International Mine Awareness Day, Yemen's Mine Action Center organized an event in the capital Sana'a. The main attraction was an exhibition displaying remnants of cluster bombs used by the Saudi-led coalition during its war on Yemen.
Last year and this year have been the most difficult times for the center, and the areas we have cleared during this period are very few. Only 25 fields have been cleared in the city of Hodeidah, specifically in the residential neighborhoods of Al-Hawak district. project. We suffer from many difficulties, including the United Nations Development Program stopping its support of the center and not finding alternative solutions. Unfortunately, the United Nations does not have a clear vision regarding the demining program, although reports indicate that donors allocated $64 million over the past year for demining purposes, but we do not see these amounts.
The center has laid charges against Saudi Arabia and its allies for deploying internationally prohibited weapons, including cluster bombs, throughout the prolonged war on Yemen. However, due to funding shortages, the center suspended its activities last July. In 2015, with backing from the United States, Saudi Arabia initiated a bloody military campaign in Yemen to restore government aligned with its interests. This war led to the deaths and injuries of tens of thousands of civilians, among them women and children. In April 2022, the United Nations mediated a ceasefire, which has since been implemented, and negotiations between the warring parties have been ongoing. Throughout the seven-year war, the Saudi-led coalition has used 15 types of internationally banned cluster bombs in its assaults on residential areas across Yemen. Therefore, officials emphasize that greater efforts are necessary to clear these unexploded munitions and mines throughout the country. Abdulatif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
And that brings us to an end here on this edition of World News. Do stay tuned, though.
Bye.
قضیه فلسطین از یادان نخواهد رفت و شهر مقدس بیت المقدس پایتخت فلسطین باقی خواهد ماند و قبله اول مسلمان ها برای مسلمان ها باقی خواهد ماند.
The issue of occupied Palestine will never be forgotten. The holy city of Beit al-Muqaddas will remain forever the capital of Palestine. And the first Qibla of Muslims will always be there for Muslims. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with government officials on the occasion of the month of Ramadan. Another challenge occurs when someone thinks that if we abandon our ideological principles and the ideological principles of the Islamic Republic, paths will open and closed gates will be unlocked. This is a grave and fundamental mistake. Of course, the brothers in our diligent administration are acting with complete belief in these principles. They really believe in the revolution and its principles and values. We do not blame these brothers, But there are some people among our officials in general who think that if we compromise some of our principles and beliefs, many closed doors will open to us. This is not the case. This is a grave mistake, and we have witnessed the results of this mistake in some other countries, whose names I do not want to mention in the recent years. The path to progress is resistance and insistence on principles.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Another challenge occurs when some individuals think that the people do not endure problems. This is not true. The people have actually endured problems. If problems are explained to the people in the true sense of the word and with complete honesty, our people are a loyal people. They are a people who stand firm and resist. Another challenge is having doubts about domestic capabilities. One of the challenges is that we do not trust our scientists and popular non-governmental groups in economic affairs. They should be trusted. The people should be involved in the great economic chain of the country. The last word in this regard is that one of the tasks that we should carry out in the area of the economy of resistance is to show firm determination. We should be after implementing, in the true sense of the word, the economy of resistance inside the country. Another task that we should do is to avoid laziness. We should avoid adopting a comfort-based outlook, and we should rely on jihadi management.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You've guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope, oh Allah, I want to thank you. That you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You've guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you for bringing me
home. It's April 17, 1917. British forces launched their invasion to capture Palestine, still part of the Ottoman Empire. The battle goes on for 3 days. The casualties on the British side are mounting. They have to retreat. London then recruits Arab tribes, promising to help them shake off the yoke of the Ottomans. With their assistance, the British raid and destroy Ottoman supply lines and logistics in the Palestine region. On the first day of November 1917, the British forces mount a new round of invasion on Gaza. Lack of ammunition and supply cripple Ottoman defense line. Gaza falls into the hands of the British, and by December 1917, they take Al-Quds, but never honor their promise. Instead, the British occupy Palestine until 1948, when they hand over the Holy Land to the Jews flooding in from across the world. The Palestinian plight and the struggle for liberation begins. On May 14, 1948, General Alan Cunningham, the last British High Commissioner, left what was known then as the Mandate of Palestine. John Marlowe wrote of the last few minutes of British rule in his book, The Seat of Pilate. The Union Jack was lowered, and with the speed of an execution and the silence of a ship that passes in the night, British rule in Palestine came to an end. On the same day, David Ben-Gurion announced the establishment of Israel. It came as a shock to the Arab world. Several Arab countries joined forces to expel the insolent newcomers, but faced a crushing defeat. A neo-colonial project, Israel systematically took over Palestinian lands, expelling people from their homes and leaving many to live as refugees in isolated enclaves. Official records conservatively estimate that back then, at least 750,000 Palestinians were forcibly removed from their homes and lands by Israeli forces, resulting in the capture of 78% of historic Palestine. The remaining 22% was divided into the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The displaced Palestinians entered a state of diaspora, with many spending the rest of their lives in refugee camps. In addition to the conquest of major cities, approximately 530 Palestinian villages were destroyed, and around 15,000 Palestinians lost their lives in a series of large-scale atrocities. Crushed and crestfallen, the Arabs vowed to wreak revenge, take their stolen lands back, and restore their lost pride, honor, and glory. With the rise of pan-Arabic Gamal Abdel Nasser, hope and enthusiasm came back among the Arabs. A coalition of Arab states was formed to go to war with Israel on June 5, 1967. This time around, Israel overwhelmed the coalition in less than a week. The decisive victory included the capture of the Sinai Peninsula, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, the old city of Al-Quds, and the Golan Heights. The Arab countries' losses in the conflict were disastrous. Egypt's casualties numbered more than 11,000, with 6,000 for Jordan and 1,000 for Syria, compared with only 700 for Israel. The Arab armies also suffered crippling losses of weaponry and equipment. The Six-Day War also created hundreds of thousands of refugees and brought more than 1 million Palestinians in the occupied territories under Israeli rule. The defeat demoralized both the Arab public and the political elite. Pan-Arabism was defanged, and hopes to take back Palestine were shattered. The Palestinian issue remained unresolved as an Arab problem. Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir famously claimed in an interview with the Sunday Times on June 15, 1969, that there were no such things as Palestinians. They didn't exist. Almost a decade later, in 1978, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin signed the Camp David Accords, according to which Egypt would recognize Israel as a legitimate state. A stab in the back of Palestine. Betrayed by Egypt and abandoned by the rest of the Arab world, the Palestinian nation was withering away under the illegal, brutal occupation. Two countries away from Palestine, the Iranian people were making history by toppling the powerful regime of Mohammad Reza Shah, who, like the Israelis, had the United States on his side. The fall of the Shah, who had the biggest army in the Middle East and the fifth greatest one in the world, rekindled hopes in the hearts of the Palestinians. The invincible could be vincible. In the words of the co-founder of Hamas, Abdulaziz Al-Rantisi, "We believe that the Islamic Revolution of Iran has had a positive impact on other Muslim countries. It has awakened them, and I believe this awakening accounts for uprisings across the Muslim world." The newly established Islamic Republic was, however, more than a role model for the Palestinian nation. Iran ended its alliance with Israel overnight in favor of the Palestinians. Just 6 days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, the Palestine Liberation Organization chief Yasser Arafat led a 58-member delegation to Tehran. As the first official foreign politician to visit Iran, Arafat was warmly received by thousands of Iranians chanting in support of Palestine. "When someone goes to their home, they do not need permission," Arafat told the public during his visit to Tehran. He declared, "Iran's revolution is a great victory for Palestine. When I entered Iran's airspace, I felt like I entered the airspace of Beit al-Muqaddas." Tehran turned the Israeli embassy to the Palestinian embassy and renamed the road in front of it to Palestine Street. An act of symbolic importance. At the same time, founder of the Islamic Revolution, Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Ruhollah Khomeini, designated the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan as Quds Day, calling on all Muslims across the world to mark the day annually in solidarity with the downtrodden people of Palestine. It was a message to the whole world. Palestine is not just an Arab problem. With this spiritual assistance from the charismatic leader of the revolution, Palestine was saved from oblivion. The Palestinian plight came to the foreground, a new lease of life for Palestinian fighters to keep on their uphill battle against the occupiers. The two major Palestinian resistance groups, i.e. the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement, PIJ, and Hamas, officially announced their existence in the 1980s. As an underground movement, Islamic Jihad had been found in the late 1970s by Fathi Shaghari, a young physician and a Gaza refugee. Endorsing the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Shaghari said, "This revolution was a wake-up call to us all that our victory is contingent upon following Imam Khomeini's path. So it behooves us to avoid all other ways except the way shown by the Imam in our fight against the occupation regime of Israel." Tehran's ties with the Palestinian resistance groups developed steadily. even when the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein waged one of the bloodiest and longest wars in the region against Iran. Iran's closer cooperation with the Palestinian groups began in 1987 after Israel expelled Hamas and Islamic Jihad leaders to Lebanon as part of its efforts to suppress the Palestinian national leadership in the occupied Gaza Strip and the West Bank. The raging war against Iran failed to distract the nation from the Palestinian cause. The Islamic Republic expressed its deep disagreements over the so-called Reagan peace plan and the Fahd peace plan, where the rights of the Palestinians had been almost totally ignored in favor of the Israeli regime. Inspired partly by the Islamic Revolution, in December 1987, the Palestinian people staged a sustained series of protests, civil disobedience, and riots, which later came to be known as the First Intifada, or the Stone Intifada, as they were still throwing stones at Israeli soldiers who were armed to the teeth. Amid the deafening silence of Arab leaders, Tehran lent all its support to the Palestinian cause. Imam Khomeini took a clear, strong stance, saying with the Israeli regime in place, the Palestinians would not see the end of their sufferings. In 1993, Fatih Shaghari told Newsday, "Iran gives us money and supports us. Then we supply the money and arms to the occupied territories and support the families of our people." To draw further attention to the pain and suffering of the Palestinian people, a couple of years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iranian pilgrims began staging demonstrations against Israel and its major supporter, the United States, at the Hajj. Perhaps one thing that sparked the flames of the First Intifada was a tragic incident that happened that year in Mecca, Saudi Arabia. On July 31st, 1987, during one of these pro-Palestinian demonstrations, the clash between Iranian demonstrators and Saudi security forces turned bloody, resulting in the deaths of more than 400 pilgrims. Hamas, an acronym in Arabic for Islamic Resistance Movement, emerged out of the First Palestinian Intifada in 1987. It was co-founded by Sheikh Ahmed Yassin and six others, originally as a local offshoot of Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood. On May 2, 1998, Hamas, still a fledgling group with less than a decade since its formation, paid a visit to Tehran to meet the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The meeting happened when almost none of the leaders of the Arab world took the Palestinian Intifada seriously. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, however, had a different opinion about the struggle, the group, and its leader, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin. Iran pledged financial support and provided the group with advanced military training at bases belonging to the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps in Iran and Lebanon. It also trained Palestinian engineers to manufacture weapons locally. The Second Palestinian Intifada erupted in September 2000, after the collapse of the so-called Middle East peace talks at Camp David and Ariel Sharon's unlawful visit to Haram al-Sharif, the home of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site in Islam. It was a major uprising by the Palestinians against the Israeli occupation that continued for 5 years. In 2006, Hamas won a huge majority in parliamentary elections, with Palestinian voters giving the group 76 seats in parliament out of the 132 seats available. After the Hamas victory, Khalid Mash'al visited Tehran and said, "Just as Islamic Iran defends the rights of the Palestinians, we defend the rights of Islamic Iran. We are part of a united front against the enemies of Islam." Unlike some other Palestinian groups, Hamas never recognized the occupation regime. So following the group's takeover of Gaza, a crippling blockade was imposed on the Strip to limit the movement of the people and goods, a collective punishment for electing an uncompromising group. To put more pressure, the U.S. and its allies imposed sanctions on Hamas and the community the group represented. Many in the Arab world left the group high and dry, but the Islamic Republic, an all-weather friend, never withdrew its support for the group in the hardest of times. The Shia state gave a hand to the Sunni group to remind the Muslim world that Palestine transcends sectarian differences. On March 9, 2008, a Hamas senior commander, interviewed by the Sunday Times, said 300 of the group's best brains had been secretly sent to Tehran. According to the commander, who wished to remain anonymous, half are still being trained by the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps. They're learning how to make explosives from everyday items and produce more effective rockets. The rest have already returned from the IRGC base in Tehran. Some have been trained as snipers. Others have learned to use tunnels in attacks on Israeli forces. Iran is our mother. She gives us information, military supplies, and financial support. The resistance movement in Palestine built up steam when Lieutenant General Haj Qasem Soleimani took the helm of Iran's Quds Force, one of the IRGC's branches with its main focus on assisting resistance groups in the region. Thanks to Tehran's unwavering support, resistance groups in Palestine grew strong enough to deal the hardest blows on the Israeli regime, something unimaginable after the Six-Day War. For the Palestinians, time for lopsided defeat had gone, and for the Israelis, victory was no longer for granted. Subsequent wars like the one in 2012 left no doubt that the Palestinians had risen from the ashes. During a visit by Hamas leaders to Iran in 2019, Ayatollah Khamenei stated, "Not many years ago, the Palestinians fought against Israel with stones. But today, instead of stones, they're equipped with precision missiles. This signifies development." Struggle against the occupation regime reached its crescendo in October 7, 2023, when Hamas forces launched a land, air, and sea attack into the heart of the Israeli occupation territories, catching the enemy off guard and shattering its myth of invincibility, in spite of all its state-of-the-art weapons and its huge military expenditure. Iran was not involved in the attack, but who can deny the country's decades-long support that molded drone flyers out of the stone-throwing fighters?
Designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the Redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, The Last Savior. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom, Islamic researcher, Brother Alavian. Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Brother Alavian, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the relation between the concept of Mahdawiyah and the holy month of Ramadan. So, we know that Laylatul Qadr during the holy month of Ramadan has a special significance for Muslims all around the world. And according to some exegetes of the Holy Quran in Surah Qadr, we are talking about the pouring down of blessings of Allah and the angels on earth because of the presence of the Hujjah of Allah on earth, that is Imam al-Asr, isn't it?
Definitely.
So, how do you think that the holy month of Ramadan can be linked into the concept of Mahdawiyah or Mahdism?
The holy month of Ramadan, in its Arabic term, is called Shahrun Mubarak. That yes. is the blessed month. Blessed or Mubarak means plenty of goodness, plentiness of goodness. Like in that holy month, while we are breathing, our breathing is known as Tasbih, that is yes. Ibadah. It's kind of worship. Our sleeping in this month is known as ibadah, an act of worship again. Or the du'as and supplications are answered. And recitation of Quran is very important. And one single verse of Quran equals one khatam, or one complete recitation of the Holy Quran.
Yes.
And many, many, many other barakat or blessings have been mentioned in the language of narrations for this holy month. And more important, it is the holy month that in which the Quran was revealed to the yes. Holy Prophet. So who is the host of this month? The host of this holy month is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. Imam yes. Mahdi alayhi salam is the Imam of the time who is hosting different people. So why Imam is hosting? So what we want to look at different dimensions of this whole existence with the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Look, we said that in our previous sessions that Imam is going to bring a utopia, an ideal situation for the human being in which everything is in its perfect manner.
Yes.
Everything is in perfect way.
That's
presented
right.
to the people. The people are reaching out. The people are healthy. The people have no problem in their material life. We recite it after every prayer, every salat in the holy month of Ramadan, starting with Allahumma adkhil ala ahl qubur as-surur.
Yes.
Allahumma aghni kull faqir. So when is it going to happen? When is the example of materialization and manifestation of this du'a? So definitely it is the time that Imam has already reappeared, and the government of Imam and the justice has been spread by
yes.
just government of Imam.
Yes.
So it means that these supplications, these prayers that are being recited in a daily basis, five times a day, after every prayer, mm-hmm. so they are going to be seen, and their materialization and manifestation can be seen at the time of reappearance of Imam Ali, advent of Imam. So I want to say that at the time of Ghaiba and occultation of Imam, we just say, oh Allah, do this and do that. Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. Allahumma ashba kulla jah. Allahumma aksa kulla uryan. Allahumma aghni dayna kulla madin. Those who are problem financially, Allah assist them and help them.
Yes.
So when will it be answered? When all these du'as are answered, we said that du'as are answered in the whole month of Ramadan. So when these du'as are answered, Imam inshallah will reappear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the answer of these du'as is the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam.
Yes.
So we want to say that these du'as are very related to the Imam alayhi salam. The next du'a that is very famous in the holy month of Ramadan, and even this du'a itself was narrated through Imam alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, is the du'a al-iftitah.
That's right.
The du'a al-iftitah. In this du'a, the people, the Muslims, the believers, usually pray for the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam, and they actually they complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are in problem, we are in difficulty, help us with the arrival and with advent of Imam alayhi salam, and make this opening for us. And we see again, there is a relationship between this du'a and the host of this month, that
yes.
is Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who is hosting bi'idhnillah, by Allah's permission, hosting his servants in this month. And he himself tells us what to recite and what to say.
Okay.
I mean, this is, again, I want to emphasize that this du'a is from the Nahl al-Muqaddasah. This is from Imam himself.
Let's take a break and then we'll continue our discussion.
مهديون في الأزمان شعظيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق رضى لما ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شعظيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق رضى لما ابتده من أجل السالكين أهدى سنه
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. You're listening to the program, The Last Savior. I'm Ata, the host of this program. All right, Brother Alevian, during the holy months of Ramadan and Imam As, how these two are related to each other. We have so many supplications and du'as to be recited during the holy month of Ramadan, which address Imam As directly. Okay?
Definitely,
isn't it?
Yes.
So there must be a certain relation between these two, isn't it?
Definitely. We said that in these du'as, we are wishing and we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are hoping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the reappearance of Imam alayhi salam.
Yes.
So it's, as I said earlier, it's very important that this du'a has been taught by Imam himself. I mean, Imam himself taught this du'a to his companions, that if you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the holy month of Ramadan, try to recite this du'a al-iftitah. And the other one, that was the du'a that we recited after every prayer, that is famous with Allahumma adkhil ala qubur as-surur. Again, this is a du'a that the manifestation of its perfect materialization is at the time of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm. So without reciting such du'as and supplications during Ramadan?
Definitely, du'as are recommended actions, brother. There is no obligation in performing or in recitation of the du'as. But
without taking a look, a glance at the topic of Imam As during Ramadan,
yeah,
would our fasting be somehow incomplete or not perfect enough?
Look, bro, we are trying to find a relation between the whole existence of Imam and the holy month of Ramadan. But it does not mean that if a person do not know all what we are discussing here, his Sawm or Siyam, his prayers and his fasting are in vain. No, it doesn't mean such a thing. Mm-hmm. We have a duty as a Muslim, that one of the pillars of Islam, one of the pillars of Islam is fasting, and we are performing due to the duty that is in our shoulders.
That's right.
So, but having this information is also beneficial and fruitful.
Okay.
And
shall we get to Laylatul Qadr now?
Yeah, we shall get to Laylatul Qadr. But I want to say that this concept of Mahdawiyya and Mahdism, as we said plenty of time in this series of shows, that is something quite common among all the believers on all these Islamic denominations. I mean, there is no discrepancy in this issue, and all of them believe in such a thing. But based on some narrations, the most possible and probable day for the reappearance of Imam Ali Islam also is 23rd of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And
according to authentic resources,
really. Yeah, and this day 23 of the holy month of Ramadan usually equals should be equal to a Friday something.
Okay.
And so all the awaiters of Imam Ali Islam also wait for his reappearance in such a day. I mean, or to hear those that heavenly call which is going to reach to the human beings throughout the world through Imam Ali Islam. To reach the whole world in that time. So there is also another connection. But one of the most probable nights of Qadr, or nights of power, also is placed in this holy month.
Yes.
And it has been actually referred to in Surah Al-Dukhan and in Surah Al-Qadr.
Yes.
Tanazzal al-Malaikat wa ruh.
Yes.
This Tanazzal, it means Tanazzal al-Malaikat wa ruh, that angels and ruh are coming down on him.
Yes.
So what does it mean? This tanazzal has a meaning of continuation in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is continued every year.
So it's
not going to be limited to the time of the Holy Prophet.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if we say, okay, it was for the time of the Holy Prophet, but this tanazzal said that it is happening every year till the day of judgment.
The action, that's right. Okay.
And again, it is being reinforced in the surah, in the chapter of Dukhan, the same concept is being said there. So who's going to be the holder of this message,
the receiver
the receiver of this message by the angels and the ruh that comes to him. What is the mission of these angels and what are they going to do on him?
So sorry, before getting it down, so me at the time of Prophet Muhammad, the main receiver of this ayah.
The Holy Prophet, the proof of Allah, and the sinner.
And after him was the imams who succeeded
the Holy Prophet.
Yes. And now is Imam As.
Definitely has to be Imam Al-Asr alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So this connection is very important.
It couldn't be, for example, the people in general?
What do you mean?
I mean the receiver of such a message of this ayah.
So how come that at the time of the Prophet, it should be the Prophet, but at the time of...
people, I mean the righteous ones.
No, it is based on the narration, it goes on, this message goes on only for the proof of Allah and the scene of the earth. The hujjah of Allah. On the scene of the earth, and because he has the capacity to receive this message, I mean others cannot have this capability and capacity to take the message.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning to shatter this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old pain.
And the importance of this Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny, of the people is going to be predestined somehow for one whole year. And then, does Imam As have also direct role in this divine predestination of the people on that night or not?
Look,
because some people might say that this is Allah's decision, so how an Imam, a person, can somehow have direct role in predestining, for example, such a decisions for the coming year.
Look, there is a concept of tafwid, that is, Allah gives the grant and the responsibility of a series of issues to His creatures on His proof on the earth.
Yes.
That is, Allah gives the sustenance, the risk, to His first, to His top proof, to His top creature, which is the proof of God, that perfect human being.
Yes.
On the earth. Then through Him, this destiny is being distributed among others.
That's right.
So, I want to say that this is a logical discussion that we have discussed it in our previous sessions, that this is the top creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the rest have been created for Him. For example, as the respected listeners might remember, we said that, for example, if there is a plant, there is an animal to eat that plant, and the perfection of this plant is to be eaten by this animal, right? So this hierarchy can be seen in the whole universe and in the whole creation.
Yes.
So this is the top creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to Him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives all the bounties and all the sustenance and all the spiritual and material sustenance, and through Him it is going to be distributed and divided on the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth. As for the night of Qadr itself, it is quite common among all the Islamic denominations, and there is no discrepancy in this issue as well, and all Muslims believe on the importance of such a night, and there is no doubt on that.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Badr Ali. Very nice elaboration regarding the topic, the relation between Imam As and the holy month of Ramadan, especially Laylatul Qadr. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Last Savior. For more information, visit our website at parstudy.ir, Call of Islam page. God bless you all. May Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam Al-Mahdi Ajalallah.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest glow? Please, oh please, please come. Please, oh, oh, oh.
Midstream.
After 6 months of genocidal war on the Gaza Strip amid targeting thousands of civilians, whether by bombing homes over their heads or by siege and preventing the entry of food